Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Tiki Barber literally has written down 150 different things. He has put the grades out.
I did it like a teacher.
You did it like a teacher. You're even weighting it like a teacher.
This
move matters more than that move. So what is your final verdict on the four-year tenure of Giants general manager Joe Shane?
So Joe Shane in the final tenure, because of the heavy weight that I'm putting on the quarterback and the offensive line, has a B-minus grade.
B minus.
C plus for the 4 years of drafting.
Wow.
He has his own free agents. That's a D because of the Saquon handling, the Daniel Jones extension, and obviously Saquon leaving and going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Kind of starts to get some positive traction because of the Bobby Okereke, the Wallers, the Burns, et cetera, all those guys. That came out to me to a C plus. And then you throw in the intangibles that we were talking about. There is a major flaw, obviously, in the Gano stuff. But he fixed the quarterback, and he fixed the O-line. That just gets a heavy weight for me because I think that was his task. So he has a B-minus grade for me.
B-minus grade from Tiki, the host of 16 different Giant podcasts, is Sean Morash. What is your final grade?
I'm giving Joe Shane a flat C.
A flat C.
Okay, I wanted to go higher, but I am not giving him as much credit as the rest of you on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really have to argue this, but just my opinion, he cost himself other resources to help this team by finally fixing this offensive line by how much he failed early with Neal, Azudu, others. And then he did get it fixed.
Yeah.
But here's the other problem with getting it fixed. It's still not fixed long term. Greg Van Roten's got it this year. Who's playing right guard next year? Jermaine Illuminor is a free agent, probably going to get big money. He didn't get a deal done with him before the year, an extension.
But that's why you draft Bo.
And I agree. So again, I'm not crushing him. The O-line looks great. Looks like a top 10 unit this year. But there's also no foundation for the future in place on the O-line, and that scares me to death. So
you
I'm giving
do have a left tackle, Andrew Thomas, and you are likely to draft another offensive lineman in this year's draft. Not in the first or second round, but I'm sure you're going to find one.
Sure. And again, I can project, but I can also project, what if he finds Josh Azudu again?
Yeah.
So to me, it's a flat C.
Flat C. Now, Tommy gave him a B-plus the other day, but now you did the exercise. So has that changing your grade for Joe Shane at all?
I'm still giving Joe Shane a B-plus. The Giants have improved at every single position since 2021, including running back, because if you look at Saquon Barkley right now this year and you project the next five seasons for him compared to Scatterboo and Tracy, I think the Giants have the edge there. So I'm going to give Joe Shane a B-plus. Every position is better since he has taken over.
So I'm the IFO here.
You are the IFO.
At least I've listened to everything you guys have said.
Uh-huh.
I've also written down my notes. I mean, you guys are something else. All of you. You guys are something freaking else.
You're going higher?
This guy gets an F.
F?
An F.
You can't give him the record, though. That's the problem.
I have to give him the record.
I know you are, but that's it's hard to do that.
Well, but I have to.
How many games did he coach?
He didn't coach
How
any.
How much influence did he have on who's playing and in what situation?
Tiki picked the coach. He may not have picked to get rid of him. That clearly came from ownership. So you know what? I won't put Kafka as the head coach over the last few weeks on him, but he picked the head coach. And here's the other thing that really brings my grade down. From a cap space perspective next year, they don't have a lot of it. Now, I'm sure they'll create cap space. It's fungible, like you said.
Yeah.
But unlike teams at the top of that grid who are already in a great spot to spend, the Giants aren't. They've also spent more money on their defense than every team in the NFL but one. Next year, allotted money is number one. And so I hear you on the offensive line. I hear you. You're right. I hear you on the quarterback. I'm with you. But some of these top picks, specifically Kayvon Thibodeau, Evan Neal, and Abdul Carter, none of them are Pro Bowl impact players. And when you are taken in the top 10, I'm sorry. It's the same reason Beningo and I would kill Leonard Williams. We knew he was good.
Yeah.
We said he wasn't good enough.
Yeah, but the draft is just one part.
Okay, I just hit on all of them.
I know. Your thing is you're weighting the wins and losses heavier than I am.
I mean, isn't that why we're here? It's a wins and losses business.
All right, I'm going to take a specific example, one that you've heard me rail specifically about.
Go.
And it's the one part of this season that pisses me off more than anything that the Giants have done maybe in the last, I don't know, eight years. You're winning on the road against the Denver Broncos. It's 3rd and 5. Does Joe Shane say, hey, Dave, man, make sure that Jackson Dart is the hero of this game? No. He had nothing to do with the biggest flop of this Giants season. That was Dave's. That was Mike Kafka. That was creating a losing moment, losing stupid football, snatching defeat from the inevitable. It's not inevitable because it didn't happen. But the right in front of you, jaws of victory, that had nothing to do with Joe Shane. So how can you put
that I have an answer.
And all
I'll
of
tell
the,
you what.
And all of the other
yes.
game management issues on Joe Shane's plate?
Because at the end of the day, the buck stops at the top. At the end of the day, you are the decider. You may not have done those specific things, but that's your head coach. You've been hands-on before. We heard reports 2 years ago. He was on the headset to make sure he wasn't screaming too much at Mike Kafka. That's a true story. So even though he didn't specifically do it, look, I love to use the president's analogy, and no one should get sensitive. I guess I'll use a Republican and a Democrat to make everybody feel better about themselves. If someone working in the Obama or Trump administration does something wrong, but it wasn't Obama or Trump, it's still on the president.
Yeah, but they get fired.
Yeah, in 4 years after the election.
I mean, I don't know.
Oh, you mean, yes.
Our Secretary of Defense might be.
No, you're right. You can remove that person, but ultimately, the buck stops at the top.
Right.
And so I get it. Like, a lot of the specific things. Look, a lot of this comes down to scouting, too. And I want to show you my consistency. One of the knocks on Joe Shane is he didn't pick the quarterback. He didn't pick Jackson Dart. No, he did.
Right.
Even if it was pushed by a scout or a head coach, he's the one who firmly said, we're trading up and we're drafting Jackson Dart. Because again, the buck stops at the top, good or bad.
Also, the head coach isn't making the trade
to
move up to 23 or 25.
25, yeah.
Yeah.
So just so we know, before we get to your calls, our final grades here on Evan and Tiki for Joe Shane's 4-year tenure. Tiki is giving him a B-. Sean is giving him a flat C. Tommy is giving him a B+, and I am giving him, you know what, I'm not going to give him an F. That's too harsh. I'm going to give him a D-. Okay? A little tiny D.
I don't think you could fail him when you have to project wins and losses. It becomes a lot easier if you found the quarterback and he helped do that.
What was that?
I don't think you could give him a flat F. You have to give him higher than that because of Jackson.
I know, I just did. I gave him a tiny
D-.
That's
what I'm saying. I think that's a good job by you.
All right, let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Mike's in Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey guys, so a couple of questions for you guys and your favorable grace here. But my worry as a fan is, number one, if Joe Shane stays, he will have a natural bias to keep the players that he drafted or traded for, and we need someone to come in and evaluate everything and cut bait if needed. The second thing is the culture that he developed for basically a presidential stay for 4 years is very weak. We can tell that. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you guys, question one, do you think Joe Shane thought he built a competitive roster in his going into his second year, a winning roster? Did he do that?
No. Did he think that? I mean, I'm sure he thought it, but it didn't work out that way.
Hold on. So a lot of that 2023 draft, that was, you know, let's get an explosive wide receiver. Who's the most explosive wide receiver on the board? Oh, Jalin Hyatt. Yeah, he had that 300-yard game against Alabama. Let's go get him. They didn't do a good enough job on him. Fact. Deontay Banks.
Yeah.
That was Wink Martindale's, like, adopted child. That Wink thought he was going to turn into a great player. And that's why they took him.
Yeah, but we still have to hold Joe for that.
100%. It was flawed philosophy, thinking that a emotional head coach was going to pick a good football player, especially one that would thrive in this city, where if you have a couple of bad games, they're on your ass.
Yeah.
And look, I think Deontay Banks is a talented athlete. He has not developed into the player that they thought he was going to be. It is a unmitigated disaster with him being the number one or their first pick in that 2023 draft. The rest of that draft was bad. But I think Joe even tried to say this yesterday. They made mistakes. They screwed up.
Yeah, well, and they've also gone backwards every year. I mean, they were 9-7 to 6-11 to 3-4. Yeah, record-wise. Well, that's how we're judged.
It's the only thing that matters. You're right. But roster-wise, you feel a lot better. I'm talking about from a pure looking at the roster. You feel so much better about this roster than you did the one 2 years ago.
Let's go to Miguel in New Jersey. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, what's up, Evan, Tiki, Sean? What's up, guys?
All's good, man.
What's up?
Listen, man, I think you guys got it a little contradictory or conflicting when it comes to that Daniel Jones contract. Like, you gave him an A for not picking up the option, but an F for the contract. And I think those two things conflict each other, because if you pick up that option, the next year he gets hurt and it's so easy. It's super easy to kind of just let him walk, like you were just saying earlier, instead of giving him that big contract.
But
as far as the overall grade, I got to give that guy a D at best.
Well, the reason I have to disagree with you on that is the circumstances are different. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Joe Shane and Brian Daboll take over. They inherit this roster. Daniel Jones at this point hadn't really proven himself, he could stay healthy. That was my biggest question about Daniel going into 2022.
Yeah, he had a turnover issue. This is before Dabes' first year. A massive turnover issue, and he was always hurt.
Right. And so based on that information, I think Joe Shane was right to say, you know what, we're going to bring him back, but we're not guaranteeing you the following year.
Yeah.
He then has the best year of his career. Now we have new information. And there's a new market.
Right.
And so I think then you had two options to me that made more sense than what they did. You pointed out, just let him go to free agency.
Right.
The other possibility
you want him to come back.
Right.
But go to free agency.
See, what I would have preferred was to tag him and say, I'm putting you on the franchise tag. Mm. I'll bring you back for 1 year. Go do it again. If you can do this again, I'd at least have more confidence in giving you that long-term contract.
Right.
And they decided none of those options.
Either one of those would have worked.
Yes.
There were three options: franchise tag or transition tag, whatever, something to keep him here as on a tag. Let him go to free agency or pay him. They chose the one you can't do.
Right.
And it came back to bite him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
But you're right. I do think it's important to stress before we get into the actual show. Hey, do you really, Sal, let's be honest, at this point, to give a rat's ass with Joe Shane to
did
say
Joe Shane? Did Joe Shane speak yesterday? I know the stuff going on.
Joe Shane, listen. I didn't listen to a word that Joe Shane said.
My
Joe
God,
Shane.
My mother crying. My wife had to talk everybody off the ledge. You think I'm worried about what Joe Shane said about his crappy Giants?
Care less about Joe Shane. But listen, there will be a day where we'll do this more extensively for sure. This is not our last show. We could promise you this. And as long as we're here, we're going to do what we do, which is what we think a pretty damn good
okay,
show.
And now let's do that and have some fun along the way here. So, all right, about Joe Shane. For me, the number one thing, BT, now we talked about this yesterday. He was on the air when we first, it was about 15 minutes we had left in the show, 1:45. Then he started this thing.
He actually just speaks like 2:20.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. It was supposed to be at 1:45, so he was late. I mean, on par. Hey, maybe he's going to be disciplined like Abdul Carter has been. But the number one takeaway for me, it's not about what Joe Shane says because nobody cares. Other than him saying that they're going to evaluate ownership, going to evaluate the entire football operation at the end of the season as they should. No assurances that Joe Shane is going to be back. If the New York Football Giants allow Joe Shane to decide who the next head coach is of this team, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they've been underperforming for 4 years. We know all the history. We don't have to rehash it. But at least to me, the one encouraging thing was that it wasn't definitive that he's going to be leading the search or that he's going to be here beyond this year. It's that the Giants organization is going to evaluate everything at the end of another loss season.
Allow me to do the evaluation for them. It's not good, and I think everything needs to change. And I think everything's going to change here, Sal. I really do. I don't think Joe Shane's going to be back. Hey, maybe me, you, and Joe could do a podcast at some point. I do think that the Giants know that Joe Shane was given a pretty fair shake and just didn't deliver to the level that I think the Giants needed him to deliver. Now, to me, and I think you and I fundamentally disagree a little bit on this, I think that the Giants' job is incredibly appealing right now. And Joe Shane did say that. He said that yesterday, and I do agree with that. Now, think about all the other times when they were trying to hire a coach, and they're going through the cycle, and we know all the names, just like we know all the bad, you know, the bad moments. We don't need to regurgitate everything. We know who we're talking about. But every time that they were going through this, I don't think that it was ever clean. Like, number one, they never had a quarterback. I think we all think, now, again, varying degrees, I think Dart's going to be a star. You really like him, maybe not as much as me. But I think everybody looks at him as incredibly attractive and very appealing. So that makes the job appealing. But the other thing, you go back to the early hires, right? You know, the McAdoofus, as you call him, and Shermer. Like, that was, like, you had just ripped off the Eli Manning Band-Aid. And to me, there's never been a more undesirable position in terms of coming into coach or be the GM, but specifically to coach as the day-to-day mouthpiece of the franchise when you are trying to transition from a franchise icon. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like so it's one thing to have the quarterback, which I believe they do in Jackson Dart. It's another thing to not have to deal with, you know, all right, the guy that just won a couple of Super Bowls and a couple of Super Bowl MVPs, and all right, he's there with Phil and Lawrence Taylor and Gifford and all the other great Strahan, all the other great Giants. We don't have to deal with that. So I thought that was an undesirable roadblock for maybe a lot of potentially good candidates who may have been interested in the Giants back then. That is not there. A good quarterback is. You'll have a new GM. I think it's a good job now.
Yeah,
I do.
I'm not going to go there because I think the next layer to this is what is ownership slash decision making going to look like here. Where we don't know, unfortunately, and it's always a tricky thing to talk about. We say this every time with the health of Mr. Mara. We just don't know who's going to be making the decisions with the Giants long-term moving forward or what the stability of ownership is going to look like. We're obviously hoping for the best that maybe all is going to be well and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, for sure.
But if I'm being asked to interview for this head coaching job or I'm a head coach that's available and this spot is there, I'm assessing everything about every potential opportunity, and if there's uncertainty or instability at the top, I don't know if it's as appealing as you're making it sound. Not to mention that let's take it down a notch. Okay, with Jackson Dart, yeah, you have a quarterback who's still learning, who has been reckless. Not a bit reckless. He has been reckless. So he hasn't proven much. I know he's got potential. I'm not trying to knock Dart and say that he's not the answer. Daniel Jones had potential, too. This feels different. It looks a little bit different. We understand that. Daniel Jones, by the way, is actually having success. As much as the Colts have come back down to the pack a little bit, he's had proven success. He's won a road playoff game before. Jackson Dart has ways to go before we see that. He's on a 2-11 football team. I know it's not his fault, but again, he's out. He's got the concussion. He's playing reckless football. So it's not to me where, wow, it's the New York Football Giants and there's a stable organization, stability within the ownership. There hasn't been much turnover. They've got everything in place. Like, I look at the Giants right now as a mess, an unstable mess with uncertainty at the top.
They're a mess. There's no doubt that they're a mess and they've been a mess for a long time. I'm not trying to put them on the, like if this was the NCAA tournament from an organizational perception point of view. I'm not saying they're the Niners or the Eagles with Howie Roseman or the Ravens who have just, even though they're only 6-6 this year, you know, they've really transitioned since they got away from Ozzie Newsome and they've really been a model franchise, or the Buffalo Bills with a star quarterback and a good head coach. I'm not saying McDermott's great, but good, who's been there for a while, playoff team every year. No, it's really the complete antithesis. The Giants have been a bumbling mess for the better part of, you know, 12, 13 years without outside of a few outlier seasons. I'm not trying to fool anybody and say that this is a good situation compared to the great situations in the NFL. But what I'm doing is I am taking the Giants opening, and I perceive there to be two openings eventually when Shane is relieved of his duties. So the head coach and the GM, I think it'll be very desirous because you're going to have to compare
desirable?
Desirable. Both fit. I know you were going to check me on that.
I've never heard desirous
before.
No,
they're both.
Okay. Desirous. Okay, I like it. I'm sorry. Continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah. I got to double check this one too. I'm going to stick with desirous. Yeah, okay. Although certainly desirable works as well. I think when you look at the other hot messes out there in the NFL, whether it's the Titans, the Browns, when Stefanski's fired, do you really think Sanders is going to be a quarterback of the future? Who knows? I don't. So I don't think of the other 6, 7, 8 openings, I don't think any one of them measures up to the Giants. It's the New York market. It is a quarterback that I believe in, and I believe that this will be the chance to have head coach and general manager synergy, meaning they're going to hire a new GM who's going to have direct say on the coach, and it won't be like, well, the coach is coming in, and the GM's on his last leg, and he's dead man walking, and does a really good, accomplished veteran coach want to attach himself to that situation? I just think it's going to be a clean, fresh start, and I feel, I feel... like Giants ownership knows they cannot entrust this job with somebody who's never done it before. It's big boy time.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I wonder if we're going to get calls today on support of Joe Shane. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were getting some of those. I think the majority of people wanted to move on from Shane even prior to Monday night. But now, at this point, seeing Shane and Kafka, is there anybody left out there that is in support of Joe Shane? 888-808-1019. Brad is in Mineola starting us off. What's up, Brad?
Gentlemen, there's no support for Joe Shane. And at the end of the day right now, we are the second pick in the draft. And I don't trust him to choose our next big player, our next big star. And there are a lot of them. And as a Michigan fan, unfortunately this year, there are a lot of them that are wearing the scarlet and white. Arvell Reese, Carnell Tate, to name a few. I don't trust it at all. And guys, just before I go, I'll follow you wherever you go. Love you guys.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that, Brad. I mean, think about this. Listen, I'm sure there's a Joe Shane supporter somewhere, but I believe at this point most voices are dissenting, and they should be, just based on the evidence, what he's done as the general manager of the Giants. I think you've got to really be ultra creative and think long and hard to come up with a reason to stamp him as the guy moving forward. So I'm not doing that. You're certainly not doing that. Very few people are. Now, if Abdul Carter was out there, number one, showing up on time and being a pro, but more specific to actually having a good rookie season or an impactful rookie season, if he's out there with 9.5, 10.5 sacks, well, maybe the calls come in and say, hey, guys, we know that, you know, he hasn't won a lot of games, but, you know, he just got a destructive force in terms of Carter. You know, he got the quarterback. Roll it out one more year. Well, the quarterback's been banged up pretty much every game, and Abdul Carter has not done anything. So I just don't think there's much evidence to try to prop up for Shane to be the guy. I don't see it.
The idea that the Giants would release a statement weeks ago that Joe Shane would be leading the way for the new head coach, that made no sense whatsoever. And then there were reports that came out that quickly, not refuted that, but let everybody know, hey, that's not necessarily the case here. Even though it was the Giants who released that statement, there was no guarantee that Joe Shane would be back. So I do think it's a circumstance of what's gone on there. This is not trying to pick on Joe Shane or say that he needs to. He had 4 years. 4 years to turn this thing around. And it progressively got worse in the final 3 years of that. He has to go. I'm sorry. There's no way. Forget about having him mess with that top pick and the players he'd be bringing in. Why in the world would you trust him to pick the next head coach? There's no way the Giants should be thinking that. And at this point, I had my doubts. And then they released that statement. I was like, oh, man, this is a problem.
That shook me a little bit, too.
Yeah, okay. But now I feel definitively they're going to move on.
That's why sometimes, you know, getting your brains beaten in on national TV is not a bad thing. Because now the perception, it just can't be ignored. I mean, when you have your kicker, you know, killing worms and not even hitting the ball, giving up a 94-yard, you know, a special teams touchdown, and just looking like a train wreck for Buck and Aikman to diagnose all night for the entire world to hear it, that ain't a good look. And nobody affiliated with the Giants with any sort of juice is going to appreciate that. And I believe that that will force them to react accordingly. Now, we'll get that answer, you know, in 5 weeks or so when the Giants season is over. But the thing, too, you say that it's year four for Joe Shane. And here was it's interesting because Dable's been gone now for a while and Shane's still here. But the thing that you and I always said, we were always in accord with this, Sal. At least with Dable, you can say, all right, where is the tangible evidence that proves he could be a coach? Well, he came in, inherited a mess, elevated a team that was moribund the years prior to that, got him 9 wins, won a road playoff game, and there wasn't a lot of talent. You know, squeeze a little something out of Daniel Jones and blah, blah, blah. We know what happened there. Where's the evidence that Joe Shane's done anything? Because that first year, that the only decent year that those two men had, in terms of attributing or trying to, like, delineate the lines of success,
it was Dable.
Joe Shane didn't do anything the first year because he didn't set that roster. Dable came in, coached him up, and then years 2, 3, and 4, when Shane's influence was really felt on the roster, they've gone backwards, and they've been non-competitive most years.
And at least now you could say definitively, that's what I'm saying, I think everybody now could agree, even if you wanted to believe in Joe Shane, they switched the head coach, not working. They switched the defensive coordinator, not working. Abdul Carter has issues. Nothing has been working. Dennis is in Yonkers, and I know he feels the same way. What's up, Danny?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
We love the hot stove conversation and all of that stuff. So looking forward to getting into that with you, with the Mets and Yanks and what needs to be done so we can talk about that. Obviously, week now 14 in the NFL. Hoff is back with us, so he could probably get us the updated perfect parlay standings, although I hesitate to ask for those.
You might cheat.
There has been a change atop the leaderboard there with you getting on a heater all of a sudden.
I know.
It hasn't happened in perfect parlay history, back-to-back weeks with a perfect parlay.
And I might not be done. Now I could go maybe a little more conservative. I've been throwing those, you know, 40-yard...
Three-teamers you hit three the last
teamers.
2 weeks.
Yeah, now I can maybe look for a little two-teamer, keep the mojo going, go a little back-to-back-to-back. So not only did I... And he hit this as well. And you're right. I don't trust his math at this point, so we got to double check.
Yeah. No, he keeps he keeps record of it all.
Well, no, I trust his ability to compute it accurately. I don't trust his ability not to lie to us.
Can you print
that? Because he wants to be in first place.
Can you print that? It's nice to see you, by the way, Hoff.
Yeah, Hoff. I mean, he's waving at you. What?
Oh, I haven't seen you since pre-Thanksgiving. Jeez.
I got one guy saying I'm going to cheat the system.
You haven't been here since last Tuesday.
Since you took batting practice.
I asked Rami to give me the perfect Paulie standings. He's like, I don't know. I look at Dove. He's like, I don't know.
Dove.
Nobody could get it.
He could have texted me. I mean, I might have been sleeping yesterday,
also,
but I could have texted me.
Also, we do have an issue because you guys, and we do need to talk this out as a show.
Yep.
We do have an issue. You gave your turkey teaser on Tuesday, you and Hoff.
Mm-hmm.
I gave mine on Wednesday.
Okay.
And I believe there was a change in the line from the Lions game.
Favoring or hurting one of us?
Hurting one of us.
Who's the us?
I'm not going to mention that until I get...
Me,
no, I'm not going to mention that.
You know what I'm going to say?
Before I tell you who the us is...
Must have a ruling?
Well, should...
Whenever the picks were made, so if I'm positively or adversely affected, same with Hoff, okay?
Yeah.
Since we did it a day before you, since we were out on Wednesday, whatever we did on Tuesday... Despite some fluctuations in the line on Wednesday when you did it,
we should
remain married to what was said on Tuesday. That's only
right.
Otherwise,
but
why do we do it?
Right. So you're saying whatever the line is at the time of the pick,
correct?
But why would then say somebody else have a? Why would you and me have different lines for the same game?
Well, maybe it changed a half a point based on some late money coming in from Tuesday to Wednesday.
Is that fair for the system?
It is, because we determined that you could have done a Tuesday with us. You elected not to because in your slippery mind, you're thinking you're going to get an advantage.
No,
that's what you're thinking.
The truth is, I was working by myself. I needed content to get through Wednesday.
And you know what? He did say that though.
If I need the turkey day teaser on Tuesday, what the hell am I going to talk about tomorrow?
He said that, yeah.
So, and I ended up getting screwed.
Oh, you did?
Now, I don't...
Sorry to hear that, buddy. Been a rough couple days for you, huh?
Exactly. I don't know. I want the turkey day teaser. I need that. So for me, I think it cost me a half point on the Lions part of the teaser.
Did you go up or down? I don't know what you did for the Lions.
I took the Lions, who were favored on Tuesday, I believe, by 2.5.
Yep.
On Wednesday, it went to 3.
Okay.
Which means I had the Lions plus 7.
Uh-huh.
They lost by 7.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and then on a teaser.
On a teaser, a 10-point swing.
But I believe ties are not a push on a teaser.
No, they are. So if you do a 4, and unless I'm wrong on this, if you do a 4-team parlay and you
bet. No, parlay, yes. Teaser.
Yeah.
Teaser. Remember,
oh, that's right. What am I saying? I'm still missing that. Remember, I messed it up last week.
BT, do you, in fact, know what a parlay or a teaser is?
I've probably gambled as much as anybody.
All right, let's get back to the calls here, but we got to clear that up a little bit later on. 888-808-1019. Rich is calling from Fairfield, Connecticut. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Rich.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
I just happened to mention the teaser. A teaser is a loser. A tie is a loser.
Yes, yes, yeah, that's
what I was saying.
That's right. Not in a parlay.
So it's a big half point. It cost me 35 points.
I've liked you guys since day one. You guys are a great show, great chemistry.
Thanks.
And as far as Joe Shane goes, I split season tickets with four other guys. And none of us are going to renew if the Giants don't get rid of Shane. And they've got to get a established coach, whether it's McCarthy.
I'm calling BS on that.
Oh.
Yeah, Rich, I respect what you're saying, and I love what you're saying. I'm calling BS on that. How many years have you had season tickets?
Over 40.
Yeah, over 40 years. And this is going to be where you draw the line in the sand? Where were you the last decade when you could have said, well, if they keep this guy, if they hire this guy, if they do that, this is if they bring Joe Shane back, are you really going to pull your season tickets?
I was exaggerating a little bit.
There you go.
I knew
good
it,
job
dude.
On that sale. Yeah, no, that's a good call.
The Giants are bottom 25% in talent. The guy hasn't fixed the field goal kicker in 3 years.
That's true.
They have no big player neighbors, yes, but they finally got Dart, who could probably hook up with them. If you get Theo Johnson in a Secret Santa deal, get him a pair of hands for Christmas.
He's another one who's overrated. Oh, yeah, thanks for the call.
I kind of like Theo Johnson. Not as a star. I think he's okay, though.
Okay.
Theo's fine.
I can understand saying you like him because there are things that are likable about his skill set. However, he's not very good. He has maybe the potential to be good. No, I mean, dropping balls.
He should have caught that. I thought he had to catch that ball. That was a great throw
BT,
by Dart.
This has been a repeated thing. It doesn't mean that he can't figure it out, but it's the potential of a guy.
His consistency's not there.
He looks good, and there's potential that you say, wow, okay, he jumps off the screen at you, big-bodied guy, can move a little bit.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So there are some attributes that are eye-opening. But however you look at the production and the results are extremely inconsistent.
No, they are. But think about the quarterback play for the Giants the last couple of years. I mean, you had DeVito throwing, you know, the ducks. You have Russ the first couple of weeks, although, you know, week two was phenomenal when they put up 40 points and lost late to Dallas. You know, obviously, Dart is really talented, excuse me, but he's a rookie. Think about Evan Engram and the way, like, you go back to his years with the Giants. I'd love to hear some of the conversations on this station and on social media about Evan Engram when he was still a New York Giant. Yeah. I'm not saying that that's the same trajectory for Theo Johnson. I'm just saying that there's something to be said for a young player, you know, getting better and gaining some consistency. If you don't at least flash enough for me to say, I think you could be really good, I lose interest quick. Now, what offsets that is the inconsistencies. But and same with Mason. Mason Taylor's not inconsistent. I just see a flash that I like. I see a ceiling that is appealing, and I see the ceiling with Theo. But I just got to see. I mean, this is important stuff here.
Yeah,
I've got to see fewer drops. Well, and if you get, I know that's why it sounds idiotic to say that.
No, I know he's still a young player.
I like him. I've always liked him.
I wouldn't give up hope on him. But those things are part of the reason why the Giants are 2-11. So you could say, well, we like the draft pick in Theo Johnson because there's a lot to like there. However, the results with some of the drops and key spots or whatever it may be, or the inconsistencies, all add up to a losing record.
And he's not the only one culpable there. There's no doubt. You're right. Now, also, you know, push this forward a little bit here, and he's going to be, I would think, early on, 95%, 90-ish percent of his explosiveness, talking about neighbors. You know, I like Theo Johnson now. I really like Theo Johnson if Malik Nabers is getting double-teamed.
Mark is calling from Houston, Texas. What's up, Mark?
Yo.
Hey guys. First, just want to say, you know, New Jersey native here in Houston now, and you guys have been my connection to back home. I can listen to you with my young son. There's never any smutter garbage. I love the show and follow you guys wherever you go.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Nice, man.
And I'm just asking, what do you guys think about with the Giants, maybe bring in the coach they like and have him bring in his own GM? Do you think that could be successful?
Only if it was somebody like a McCarthy or you know, Gruden, somebody who's done that. Although Gruden hired Mike Mayock, so I don't even know if I would give him that latitude. Mark, I would be open to it, but you've got to be, you basically have to be a Super Bowl winning head coach to have that kind of say.
Mark, I think it's a great question.
It is a good question.
I think you just nailed it, BT, and thank you for the call, Mark, and your support. We appreciate that. If I'm hiring Bill Belichick, and I would, I'm having him pick his guy, and I would hope that it would be Thomas Dimitroff. Dimitroff has earned... Oh, no, forget about deserved. I hate that word. He has earned another opportunity. Look at his track record.
I'm a fan.
And I'm more familiar with it than most because I followed the Falcons, especially back then.
Yeah.
And he came onto the you know, New England tree of success. So I would try to pair, and it doesn't necessarily have to be him. It's just what I would do. And if anything, I'd rather have Dimitroff than even Belichick. And I'd let Dimitroff pick a head coach. But if it is head coach first and Belichick in place, I would hope he would bring Dimitroff along with him and they could work together. So that's what I would do. But I would, depending on the head coach, obviously prefer to have, in a perfect world, BT, you'd like to hire the GM and have him bring in his own guy.
Yeah, that's the synergy I'm looking for. It doesn't always happen. Usually
it's
messy.
But that's more of a rebuild to... You know what I mean? That, or at least where the Giants are at, and God, they've tried that before. If it were Dimitroff or an experienced GM, then I'd be on board with saying, okay, I trust that experienced GM that has been proven to have success to hire the next head coach that he feels like he needs to hire.
I could get behind that. Let me ask you this. We talk, and this pertains to Belichick, and I'm curious how you answer this. So I just don't necessarily think that Belichick still has his fastball the way he once did. I can't prove that. You like him. We both respect him.
I can't prove it either. But yeah,
but we obviously, I mean, he's Lombardi, Parcells, Belichick, you know, Belichick in front of Parcells. That tells you how much we love because we love Parcells. Point being, when a coach gets older or is out of the game for a while, and it's been a couple of years for Belichick, and he's definitely older, you know, some people say the league passes him by because the league is always evolving. Dimitroff has been out of the game for a little bit in terms of being that head man. Right, I know he's with the Saints.
Yeah,
I get that.
He got back in. He was doing other stuff. We
a lot of TV.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. I love him. Great personality. The Jets. He was on the Jets radar before they hired Mucci. I think he's very polished. I think he's very good. I think he's very accomplished. I think he's very interesting. My question, though, would be, do you think that applies to the GM as well, who's out of the league as a GM for a couple of years, that as the league evolves, he could kind of lose that sync with what the league is doing?
If he were just sitting on his rear end doing other things outside of football, then maybe. But even then, I think if you're great at something, it may take a little while to knock the rust off, but eventually you're going to get back on and be like, okay, now we know what we're doing. So, and he has never truly left the game, so he's still been on it. Would I rather have, I can only give you my opinion. I can't.
That's what we're asking for.
Yeah, right. So would I rather have Thomas Dimitroff, who I know was excellent and only got fired because they incorrectly felt it was time for a fresh voice, change everything we're asking the Yankees to do with Brian Cashman. That's what happened in Atlanta. And look what's happened. This guy Fontenot's been there for 5 years and they've gone the wrong way. He's made horrible draft pick and not knowing how to build a team and the team sucks. So they wish, as a matter of fact, they should be hiring Dimitroff back. Point is, you look at his record, what he did with Atlanta, with two different head coaches as well. They got to a point with Mike Smith that they felt, okay, it was time to move on. They hired Dan Quinn. They ended up getting to the Super Bowl. We know about the collapse, but he knows what he's doing. Would I rather have that with that resume or take a chance on a first-time guy that's going to be elevated that comes from another organization? Because obviously, from the Giants' perspective, you're not elevating anybody within the organization.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they've earned that. Yeah, I mean, listen, you look at coordinators, whether it's a Shula, who's very appealing to some, and all the other names that are being thrown out there for this head coaching cycle. I love to just look at their resumes. I like to see if there was... Now, generally, they're known for one side of the football. Dable, offense, obviously, somebody like Robert Saleh, defense. But a lot of these men, early in their career, they may have been on the other side or special teams somewhere in the middle. And I'm just, which I think is good. I think it creates a well-roundedness that I think could be very appealing and serve that man and that franchise well. I look at Dimitroff here. Yeah, I didn't realize he was the 2008 to 2020. I didn't know it was quite that long. So I love that stability. And obviously before that with the Patriots there, he was the national scout. For a bunch of years, and obviously a lot of scouting ties, Lions, Browns, different franchises.
Then you also have to remember.
I like him. I've always liked him.
You also have to, and again, even if you don't follow it, look at his resume, look at his record. You also have to remember the circumstances that he took over with Vic going to prison.
Yeah.
And it's a losing, historically losing organization. Prior to his arrival, they never had back-to-back winning seasons.
Oh, like your Mets season.
Correct.
Like the Mets
in the postseason only happened consecutive years twice in their history, as you referenced all the time.
Yeah.
So he built that into a sustained, successful...
No question. He drafted Matt Ryan.
Yes.
He drafted Matt Third.
Yes, even though there was talk about... Remember, they got lucky. It was the third overall pick. Parcells was with the Dolphins as an advisor.
He was.
They took Jake Long.
Yeah.
And Glenn Dorsey, the guy who I wanted to take, he went number two to
D-tackle,
the Chiefs.
Right?
Yes.
Yep.
And then the Falcons ended up with Matt Ryan.
And Matt Ryan was not a layup. Remember, my sister went to BC, so I always watch BC, right? Even now, I check in a little bit. I remember watching Matt a lot, and I loved him.
Yeah.
But what I remember saying on the air at that point was, you know, guys, look what he's doing. He's not even throwing NFL wide receivers. And that doesn't mean like Burrow at LSU wasn't a stud. He obviously wasn't. He's a stud now. But when you're throwing to guys who are going to play on Sunday versus guys who are only going to play on Saturdays and pretty much, you know, maybe enter the world of finance when they're done playing on Saturdays, I thought that was... even more reason to think that there was another level to Matt Ryan.
Right.
But that was a leap of faith, and he was not a great athlete. It's not like he was running around the pocket making people miss. So for him to hone in on him for a school outside of Doug Flutie, that's pretty much it, that doesn't really put out quarterbacks, that was good instincts.
And they won immediately.
Yeah.
Even Mike Smith, he hired the right guy at the right time. They won immediately with a rookie quarterback, which was unheard of. Nobody expected anything from them. So, yeah, and as a matter of fact, I want them to build inside out. I'm saying this is the first year of a rebuild, inside out. Get me Glenn Dorsey. Obviously, taking Matt Ryan was the right thing.
I ask you this one question before we get to your calls, and we'll get to so many other aspects around the Giants. And yes, the Mets signed Devin Williams to a free agent contract. We'll get to that later as well.
What? That happened last night?
Yes. As Kyle Williams scored the touchdown, it was dueling Williamses at the same time. Are you concerned now that Abdul Carter may be a bust?
No.
Okay.
Not even close.
Okay. Not even close?
No.
See, I would be a little close to it.
No.
Okay.
Now, you got to suck for a couple years for me to say you're going to be a bust.
I got you. And we have seen guys. I love using Andrew Thomas as a great reference on this because his first year was a disaster.
Mm-hmm. He didn't know how to play left tackle. And just, you were a great left tackle.
Yeah.
What happened?
And obviously, his career has turned around. So I'm just asking the bust question. We'll ask that, Sean, a little bit later on. But let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Gerald is in Harrison, New York. What's up, Gerald?
What's up, Gerald?
What's up, guys? What's up, Evan, Tiki?
All's good.
I was just wanting to say this team is such a disaster, and I was wondering at what point do you start to bench guys that and you got to hold them accountable? Seriously, I mean, because it's really a disaster.
You mean for performance?
And I got one other thing
for
too.
For performance, I don't think you will. Effort, you can do that, but I don't think for performance. What else?
And I just have one question about like the Eagles. I mean, what's up with that offense? And they are egging the coordinator's house.
Yeah. That was disgusting. I saw that. That was ridiculous.
That's where fans go too far.
Like, I agree.
This is sports. We all have strong opinions. We yell and scream on the radio. There was a story out of Philadelphia that
Kevin Petullo.
Yeah, kids were egging the house of Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator of the Eagles. That's when your fandom goes too far.
Right.
And it's disgusting.
Right. It's when you're an entitled little punk and you hope that somebody doesn't catch you. Because if I caught you doing that to my house, trust me, your papa wouldn't save you. So... the challenge in Philly, to answer your question, is I think they miss Kellen Moore a lot. And it's not a knock on Kevin Petullo. He just hasn't done it before. And so he's realizing the challenge of being a play caller with a massive expectation. And by the way, he's the fourth OC in 4 years.
Yeah.
They've turned this position over and over again. They've also started to age out on the offensive line a little bit, and so you're just not seeing the production that you saw a year ago.
Matt is in Westchester. Hey, Matt.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
All's good.
What's up, man?
So I got 2 points. I think one is about the next head coach, but I'll start with Joe Shane. I think I look at it a little bit differently than a lot of people do. I think I look at the best NFL general managers compared to any other sport as the ones that do the best around the margins. Because I think in the NFL, it's not easy, but it's easier to just take the stud wide receiver at four or, you know, the top guys. I think where these top NFL GMs make their money is on the margins. And I think to look at the Jets, Muji's doing a great job. I think Joe Shane's worst quality as a general manager is his ability to improve the roster on the margins. And we saw it with the Patriots last night. They got guys all over the place, fifth, sixth, low money free agent guys making plays. And the Giants just don't have that. And the next point I'll make about the next head coach is I'm hearing from a lot of people that they want the proven, experienced guy, the Vrabel. I know Tommy likes McCarthy.
Right.
I think the Giants are at the point where they need a completely new voice with a new mind. Clint Kubiak in Seattle, I think, would be where I would look personally. And what he's done with for Jackson Smith and Jigba, working with Kirk Cousins, Pro Bowl year in New Orleans, I think that is a guy who can come in with a fresh perspective and I think set the Giants on the direction that they're looking for, as opposed to like a, we know the floor we're getting with McCarthy and let's just be happy. Like I think the Giants are in a place with Dart on the rookie contract. You go for the guy that can really take them to the next level.
You reach for the higher ceiling. Clint Kubiak is interesting. His whole family is in the business. His brother is an offensive coordinator in the league right now. You didn't even mention Sam Darnold, what he's done with him. Sam's had a turnover issue, a problem this season out in Seattle, but he has created the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. Jackson Smith and Jigma's got almost 1,400 yards, and there's still four games to go.
Monster year.
He might be the first to clip 2,000, but we'll see how that goes. He's interesting. I think Chris Shula is also interesting. Those are the young guys who haven't had head coaching opportunities, but I don't remember why he fell out of the conversation last year, Clint Kubiak, because I thought he was going to be one of those young potential stars, and it just never happened this offseason. So I don't know. I'm not doing these searches. I'm not talking to these guys, but it's going to go one of two ways. They're either going veteran, established coach, Mike McCarthy type, or their only other option is to go someone who has not a proven track record.
And they don't have to pick between the two. Like, no. The worst thing you could do going into a search is saying, I'm only looking at this.
Right.
I hate to give a very simplistic answer, but sometimes what made Joe B great is he would give the most simplest answers, but it's so true. You know who the Giants need to hire? The right guy.
Yes. Take your time finding the right guy. And the right leader.
The right leader. And here's the beautiful proof of it, because we just watched the Patriots, right? And you made a lot of comments last night on the post-game show, spot on. We all thought the same thing. Mike Vrabel is awesome.
Yeah.
And he put together a masterclass in coaching last night. And so Mike Vrabel's easy. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, the Giants need their own Mike Vrabel. But then you look at the NFC and you garner through the conference and say to yourself, all right, who's the top team in the NFC right now? Ooh, I see the Chicago Bears. Ooh, similar. Quarterback coming off their rookie year. We need a new head coach. And they didn't hire Mike Vrabel. They hired Ben Johnson, mm-hmm. who we'd all admit, I didn't know what he was going to be as a head coach.
No idea. Knew he was a good coordinator.
But here's what we know. The Chicago Bears and the New England Patriots did what the Giants need to do.
Yeah.
And they found their right guy in a very different way.
The problem is there are no Mike Vrabels available. Are there?
Well, it depends. I think, as we've talked about yesterday, I think Mike Tomlin could be available, and I would put him above Mike Vrabel, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true.
So I think there can be. I think Mike McCarthy is a wonderful, respected head coach. Is he Mike Vrabel? It's not exactly the same, other than having the same first name, but Mike McCarthy's won a Super Bowl. Like, he's pretty good. So I think there's different ways to get there. But one thing we shouldn't do, if we're Giant fans or IFOs, is simply put ourselves in this box where, oh, it's got to be a guy with experience. Oh, it's got to be a guy with no experience.
It's just got to be the right. You're right.
It's got to be the right guy.
It's got to be the right guy. Hopefully, someone who has head coaching competency, not learning on the job how to be a head coach and making all of those requisite mistakes for a year plus, not knowing how to be a head coach.
But I'll tell you what.
That's what I don't want to see.
100%. And what's intoxicating about last night's game. Last night was embarrassing, and the Giants are the Jets. More on that as the show rolls on. But what's intoxicating about last night is you look at the Patriots roster, you look at Drake May in year two, mm-hmm. and you look at Mike Vrabel, and you simply say, why not us? And I know it's tough when you get blown out, mm-hmm. but the NFL can change with the right leadership and the right coaching. But here's the problem. This is the problem that the Giants are going to run into. Are they capable of identifying that right guy?
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots got it in Mike Vrabel. Maybe the Bears got lucky in Ben Johnson. It's only year one. We'll see. Can the Giants find that right guy? But that's the beauty of football. Like, things can turn on a dime. And they, last night, the team you got your ass kicked by is a great example of that.
Yeah. And I think that the Patriots were kind of always waiting for Vrabel to come available. I don't know who that is for the Giants. Who are the Giants waiting for? Like, who's their guy that, yeah, you know, it took some time, but it evolved into coming of it to us at the right time. I don't know if the Giants have that person.
John, it's Staten Island. What's going on, John? Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I'm just curious. I'm talking about the Abdul Carter situation. Did this all start with Malik Nabers last year? He wasn't with the team 5 minutes, knocking players, knocking coaches, tearing them apart. Abel is supposed to be a disciplinarian. You heard nothing from him. Now, this new coach, last week, Malik Nabers is laying on a couch somewhere, knocking his play call, and the first week, nothing. When are these coaches going to grow up here? And he said, I believe the coach said, well, I didn't hear the audio officially, but they played it for him, and he downplayed it. He's got nothing to lose. Why didn't he just say?
Yeah, but you know what? He also wants to have a job going forward in the NFL. So, you know, everything that's going on behind the scenes, he wants to keep behind the scenes. But believe me, the last thing he wants is to be a guy that is known not to get along with the players or the can't connect with the players. That's the big thing now, connecting with players.
Sure.
And, you know, the whole Malik Nabers thing, he is hurt. He's out of the picture. I'm sure he's around I would think he would be around the facility if he's going through some rehab or any of that stuff. But, you know, quite frankly, it's like the last thing on Mike Kafka's mind is dealing publicly with Malik Nabers and play calling.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't audio. It was something that he put out on social media, then deleted. So, and who knows if he ended up having a conversation with him, you know, because they've worked together for a couple years now behind the scenes. I mean, I don't know.
You know what's amazing to me is when you do lose, though, I mean, it really is. It's hard to keep guys motivated. It's just hard to keep guys involved. And the opposite is going on up in New England. Nobody wants to be late for a meeting. Nobody wants to not start a game. Nobody wants to be, you know, benched for an entire game and sit there in street clothes because he did something stupid. They all are feeling the winning, and they're being led by a quarterback that obviously, listening to the broadcast last night and all the things that Josh McDaniels had said about Drake May, you know, you could see on the field and you could see how the team is reacting to him. You have to be the leader, Drake. You have to be the guy that is going to lead this team just like Tom Brady did. And hopefully he'll have half the success Tom Brady had as a young quarterback. But, you know, quite frankly, he has taken this team by storm, and so is that coaching staff. And that's exactly what has to happen to the Giants next season.
Let's go to Ron in Tom's River. What's up, Ron?
Hey, guys. How's everyone doing today?
Good, man. What's up today?
Yeah, so Boomer, you answered my Kafka question about why he's not publicly kind of like, you know, taking this by the horns. But there's a fine line as a coach, and you know this as a player, where the players are looking at this guy saying, like, are you going to do anything? You're not going to say anything. You're just going to let this kid just keep doing what he's doing, which is kind of, you know, not a leader of men. But I don't know how Joe Shane can come out here today and talk about the talent on the team that what they have, where you just saw the Giants got dog walked by the Patriots. You're talking about the difference in head coaching, the difference in talent, the difference in ownership, all up and down. And now Joe Shane's going to be out here talking about how we have a good nucleus of talent. It is mind boggling that if any one of us would have the same work performance as this guy, we would get fired. But the Giants consistently get this up wrong all the time and hang on to these guys just out of loyalty. It's crazy. So I just want your comments on that, if you could. Thank you.
All right, I'm just telling you, today's player is completely different than when I played. And we had players miss meetings, but, you know, it was probably because, you know, they were either hungover or they had issues at home or something like that. I mean, it does happen. But today's player is completely different than what we were. It's just the money is so big right now, and the entitlement is at such a high level that guys like Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence and, you know, Bobby Okereke, they're the leaders. Javon Holland, they are the leaders of the Giants defense. If this kid is missing meetings and this kid is not doing his, what he's supposed to be doing on the field and the practice field, not taking the right angles when a defense calls for him to, you know, hold the outside to try to force the runner back up inside. I mean, those players have got to hold him accountable. That's why you have a player council. That's why you have a player leadership team. You remember when Michael Strahan and I guess it was Tiki, those guys led a revolt on Tom Coughlin because he was too hard.
Well, it was actually before the 2007 season, so Tiki wasn't there.
It was
Strahan and others.
Right, so they sat down with Tom, and Tom listened, and Tom said, okay. You know, I'm assuming he said, okay, I'll back off a little bit, but that means I need you guys to step up. I need you guys to be the leaders in the locker room. And I don't want, you know, they had a great bunch of guys on that defensive line. You know, that was really the foundation, and the offensive line for that matter.
Yeah.
That was really the foundation of that team. And even though Eli was the captain and Eli was the leader, you saw the personalities that they had on that team. And those guys cared. They actually legitimately cared. And I would like to think that Dexter Lawrence, Bobby Okereke, Brian Burns, Javon Holland, all these guys who are really good football players really care. They're the ones that ultimately have to hold Abdul Carter accountable.
Brian Burns really cares. I mean, he was sitting on the bench, apparently, when everybody else was in the locker room. He was just, like, collecting his thoughts at halftime before he went in there. And it looked like he was, at least some of the reporters were saying that he just looked totally distraught. I mean, 30-7. I mean, I don't know how
he's pissed off, and I understand why, because he's a really good player, and he gives maximum effort on every play. And if Abdul Carter can't learn from him, then Abdul Carter can't learn from anybody.
Yeah, and I don't think Joe Shane's going to be here. I know the last caller was assuming, because Joe Shane didn't go and Brian Daboll went, that he's going to be here 100% in the offseason. I don't know if that's the case.
This is
going
to be...
He's got a press conference today too.
Yeah, today's a press conference day. This is going to be, I'm sure, Pat Hanlon's sitting down with him going, this is what's going to be asked of you, and get ready for it, because it is going to be, it's going to be all on. It's going to be all on you, because you're the one that has, you know, made these picks. You've drafted these guys, and most of us all thought Abdul Carter was going to be a good pick, and maybe he still will be. You know, it takes a while for these guys to figure it out. And maybe he's going through that right now, and we're all living through it with a losing record, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to lean on, you know, Malik Nabers being a good pick, but he's hurt. Cam Scadabo being a good pick, but he's hurt. Jackson Dart being a good pick. He's going to lean on that stuff, I'm sure, if he is in job survival mode. But he's the only one left right now. I mean, when you fire the two guys that the fan base wanted out in Brian Daboll and then Shane Bowen, now it's all at your feet, and you just got your asses handed to you on national TV last night going into a bye week, which doesn't look good either, because it looks like the team's just thinking ahead of the bye week. You get your ass kicked, and now you got to deal with the media with everybody else gone. Like, okay, I mean, you fired everybody, and now you had your worst loss of the season. So what is it? What is the problem? Let's go to Warren in Deer Park. What's going on, Warren?
Hey guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Warren.
I want to point out about Abdul Carter. He's probably suffering from sleep apnea like I was. I was undiagnosed for a lot of years, and then I was always falling asleep at meetings. And then once I got my CPAP machine, I never had that problem again, falling asleep at work. So it's not like he's like a delinquent or not responsible or doesn't care. And you can't compare him to the other rookies, because they probably don't have sleep apnea. And he probably tries to go to bed early and get his sleep, but, you know, he's not. I blame the coaching staff and the medical staff for not diagnosing him.
Why are you so sure that he's got the same ailment as you?
Because it happened to me. I would fall asleep in front of my bosses at meetings.
But he was also he's been late more so. Like he said he wasn't sleeping. He was getting that red light therapy or whatever it was. But he's been late, and he's been showing up late. Is that also a sleep apnea thing? Do you show up late to things?
Yeah, you could fall asleep later in a red light therapy bed. You know, I used to have to take a 1 hour nap in my car at lunch
I'm glad you called, because I hadn't considered this, Boomer. I really hadn't. You know, we've been hammering the guy. I didn't even consider that maybe he's got sleep apnea and he's falling asleep in meetings.
Yeah.
You know?
And you don't think that the training staff, the coaching staff, or anybody wouldn't be checking for that.
That was
like they just let him sleep in meetings. If that's what he's doing, or if he's missing meetings, or he's not showing up where he's supposed to be showing up, or, also a point where, I don't know, they may be getting tests at the end of the week about responsibilities on the field, and maybe he's failing those too. You know, who knows? I mean, maybe he's dyslexic.
It could be that.
It could be that too.
What he could also have? Long COVID.
You'd have long COVID, yeah.
He might have long COVID.
He could have an adverse reaction to some COVID vaccine, too. You never know.
Yeah. You know what he could also have? Guillain-Barré syndrome. Isn't that a thing where you, like, fall asleep all the time? It's like mono. He's got mono.
Maybe he's got mono.
He's got mono. You know what? Because mono, you can fall asleep. You're tired all the time. Mm. Those are the issues.
By the way, Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Eddie, you struggled with sleep apnea many years before getting your CPAP machine.
Oh, yes.
Were you ever late to work?
No, sir.
Okay.
Why is that?
I set multiple alarms.
Okay, but why were you never late to work? What was inside of you that made you want to show up on time, be here when you were supposed to be here, and fulfill your responsibilities?
I guess it's a work ethic.
Yeah.
Oh, pride?
Oh, for sure. 100%. Oh,
yeah. Do you ever fall asleep while running the board?
No, but I have been very sleepy to where I've had to stand up, go take walks, drink coffee.
That's recognizing, what you're dealing with, and then you reacting to that and dealing with it so you're not adversely affecting anybody else.
Hopefully not, yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's being a mature man.
Right, and that's what we're getting at.
And this has been going on for how long?
Myself? Of like 37 years?
Yeah, so it's even back when you were younger.
Oh, yes.
You learned to deal with it. Because if you couldn't deal with it or you couldn't figure it out, you wouldn't be sitting here.
But I will say, since the CPAP machine, life-changing.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. And don't look, this is a multi-billion-dollar team. They just sold 10% for $1 billion.
Let's go to Pat on Long Island. What's going on, Pat?
Yeah, so Abdul Carter, has anybody considered? Maybe he just has a vagina.
Huh. Yeah. You know what? I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, as Eddie used to say back in the day, Bruce Labia. Is that why'd you miss work? Yeah. I mean, listen, anything's possible.
Vagina.
Ed in Pennsylvania. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Good. What's up, Ed?
I'd like to talk about Mike Tomlin. I think I'm a Viking fan like you are, so we're on the same page. But everybody, this guy's overrated. If you look at, and I'm not going to say overrated or rated, but who was his offensive coordinator when he won the Super Bowl?
Bruce Arians, right?
Oh, yes. And what did he do in Arizona? He built that program. What did he do in Tampa Bay?
He won a Super Bowl.
Mike Tomlin's so overrated. He had a good quarterback with Rosenberg. He had all Bill Cowher's players. He hasn't done nothing since except 500. And he's just overrated, but nobody says that. They say how good of a coach he is.
Well, he has coached for 19 years, coached 304 games. He's 189 and 113-2.
Yes, but what's he done? Why did they fire Arians? Do you know?
Well, back then, so I actually was working in Pittsburgh during that time, and the reason was that they thought that Ben and Bruce Arians were so comfortable together that he wasn't holding Ben accountable any longer.
Was that Tomlin or Cowher who did that?
That was Tomlin who did that.
Okay, Tomlin.
Which I think might have been more Rooney's that did that.
Okay.
And that was because it was like Roethlisberger and Arians were known to be best friends. And his play had dipped a little bit and they were thinking, we need to get somebody else in here who's going to put his fist down. So who do they bring in after that? Todd Haley. Which ended up being
that was gasoline on a fire,
biggest disaster of all time. that didn't work out at all. But I don't think he's overrated as a coach, Mike Tomlin. But yes, it's been a long time since they've won. Here's a bigger knock on Mike Tomlin than the winning with Cowher's players thing, because he did go to two Super Bowls. He did win one of them. You can't take that away from a head coach.
No, of course not.
But a bigger knock is that he had this unbelievable roster with Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell, a great offensive line. You know, he had the likes of David DeCastro on that offensive line, Marquise Pouncey, Ramon Foster, all these guys that were great, Max Starks, and a defense that was still hanging in there, like 15th in the league, that was even a little better than that at times.
Well, when you have an offense that can control the game, the defense feeds off of that.
Right, but they were still a really good, they were a top-half defense. And he didn't get to a Super Bowl. I think he made it to an AFC Championship game in that time. But not maximizing the potential of that roster is the biggest knock on him there is. Because that team could have beaten anybody.
What was that, 2015?
What was the year that they made it? I think they ended up playing the Ravens in the championship game.
I'm assuming
playoffs, and maybe it was in the divisionals. But, I mean, they were there for a number of years.
Yeah, yeah. 14, 15, 17.
14 seems about right. Like that, where they were all together.
Yeah, 14, they won or they lost the playoff game. They played in one playoff game that year. And then 15, they played in two playoff games. And then 16, they played in three playoff games.
So they made it to the championship game. So, yeah, that group there.
Right.
That group. And which was, you know, Antonio Brown in his prime, Le'Veon right. Bell in his prime.
He's played in 19 playoff games, and he's 8-11 in those 19 playoff games as a coach.
Look at the numbers compared to some other guys.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
it's gotten stale there.
Yeah, well, and I think Ben Roethlisberger is probably right. And he sees it and he feels it, and I would assume that he's friendly with Mike Tomlin. I'm not sure it ended amicably, and never does.
Right.
Never seems to, anyway.
Yeah, I think they respect one another.
Everybody gets emotional when your time comes to an end.
Yeah.
Except for me, I just left.
You did. You just left.
Yep. Just took off. See you later.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.